It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely and talented and inimitable and unparalleled and singular Gemma.
Wow. That was a really good intro.
I've been mean to you most of the day, and so I felt bad.
I thought it was because you were watching Game of Thrones and you realized everyone has really long titles, so you thought you should give me one too.
I should do that. And we are also joined by a man who needs no introduction. We have a lot going on this week. We have the Oakland Athletics. Okay, I guess he does need an introduction. It is, of course, Ian Kay, my boss and yours. Welcome back to the Cut Forecast, the triumphant return of Ian Kay to the Cut Forecast.
I just wish you hadn't used up all your adjectives moments before.
He is average. He is paralleled.
Okay, that's enough.
He really has a lot of adjectives that could be used to describe him, but we have a lot to get. We really are happy to have you back, Ian.
We really are.
Yes. We've been trying to have you back. I know your schedule is very busy and it's hard. We've talked to your assistant's assistant, and they've all had a hard time getting an hour free with you. So I'm glad that you were able to move your schedule around, make it work for us.
Hey, anytime. Had to, you know, shift some meetings, move some calls, fly back to New York, but I made
That's
it.
That's true.
On the Zeppelin.
And I'm happy to be here.
Zeppelin, yeah.
I know. Well, he dispatches the Zeppelin. Wherever he wants it to go, that's where it goes. But we have a lot to get to this week. There is a special theme night in Minnesota for a very special baseball player. We will discuss that. Also, Shohei Ohtani might be making the move to Major League Baseball that we have all hoped for many, 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 many years. We're looking forward to that. We will wildly speculate with no information whatsoever. There is no reporting on this podcast.
Speak for yourself.
And then we will also talk about the remaining game. There's not that much actual regular season baseball left, so we will break down which games we are most excited to see in the postseason race. But before we get to all of that, I want to talk about the Oakland Athletics. We don't talk enough about the Oakland Athletics on this podcast, and I want to talk about the Oakland Athletics. They have a game next season on the schedule that is completely free. The April 17 game against the White Sox, fans can get into the Coliseum totally for free. Season ticket holders and fans who attended the very first game at the Coliseum are guaranteed admission, and online registration for the rest of the tickets will be available in January. MLB.com's Jane Lee talked to the A's COO, Chris Giles, and he said, "We were really just looking to do something special on the actual anniversary date of their first game in the Coliseum, and it's a really great gift to the community, a gift to our fan base to say thank you for 50 amazing years." What a lovely promotion. Ian, are you excited for the free game?
Yeah, I love free stuff, as anyone who has seen my collection of ESPN fleeces can attest. I will gladly pay an exorbitant amount of money for one thing if I know it comes with something else for free, and I don't even have to do that for the A's game. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm happy that they're doing this. Like, I just like, this is one step further into our dream of just having the baseball stadiums open year-round for free for everybody all the time to go hang out in. And that's what this is like.
Yeah. If there's no game, just public park. That's what it is. Yeah.
Gemma, what are your thoughts?
I'm really into this. Well, I really like it also because of, I think over the past couple of years, the A's have really just made it clear how much they appreciate their extremely unique fan community.
Yeah.
A couple episodes ago, Jess was talking about how sitting in bleachers at the Coliseum is just like an experience that you cannot replicate anywhere else. And I think it's really great that you hear clubs say a lot of times, we love the fans, and we all know that. We know all the clubs love the fans. But this is just like above and beyond gesture to say, hey, just come hang out with us for free. It's
for free.
Really nice.
Just come. Chill.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's really nice.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Stomper will be there. It'll be great.
Yes. They need something now that their winning streak is being broken. They need to have
Maybe.
Something of their own.
We're in the middle. As we record this, the game is not yet over.
I'm going to call it. It's happening. I'm calling it. We are. We're recording this on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But the Indians are really good.
Well, it's 4-3 now, so.
In favor of Cleveland?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I didn't totally mess everything up.
We'll see.
We will see. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's really cool. And I just wanted to put a pin in that for the A's because I think it's awesome. And it's never too early to start talking about the 2018 season.
True. Well, did you see that they're going to do the thing with the Stomper statues all around Oakland?
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Yeah, there's
too,
like 50 Stomper statues.
Like artists can design sort of Stomper statues. And
yeah, like there's like cows, I think. Is that a thing?
Cows and sometimes do sheep. And
yeah.
They're going to do Stomper. And then everyone will be like, oh, Stomper. I can go see him for free.
Such a good baseball team.
I did originally read that there's going to be 56-foot Stomper statues, but I read it as 650-foot Stomper statues.
Like, which would you rather fight?
We're going to see like massive Stompers all around Oakland.
That'd be great. We in New York, we have the Statue of Liberty. Over in Oakland, they have a massive statue
stunned.
Stomper.
I was like, six, though. I read it as six statues. It's crazy.
They should put them just all around AT&T statues. Park. That yeah. should be the plan.
Yeah.
Like, just totally overwhelm the Giants fans.
The Valley of Stompers. Yes.
Yeah, it isn't too early to start talking about 2018. Well, there's like, I feel like there's a lot of times where you're like, well, no, we're not even done with this season. Why are we talking about the next season? But no. I want to talk about 2018. I think this is going to be really great. And this is setting the tone for a really great promotional schedule for next season. And I like that. Good. So let's move on to the topic that I know the two of you are most eager to talk about. The Twins on Friday, September 15th, will play host to Big Sexy Night in honor of the one, the only, Bartolo Colon. This is probably the greatest promotion that has been devised since the Oakland Athletics free game. And it is there's a special ticket package that includes a commemorative Big Sexy t-shirt that is, I think we all really deserve a copy of that. I know they it's unclear as of yet if he'll actually be starting on Big Sexy Night. I hope he's not, and I hope he's just like the master of ceremonies for Big Sexy Night.
He just gets to enjoy, just sit back and enjoy it.
Ian, what do you think about Bartolo Night?
I love it. You know, if you have Bartolo on your team, you should really just take full advantage of that experience. He moves around a lot, so you never know how long you're going to have Bartolo for, but he deserves it. He's had a long career. He's brought us a lot of joy. And we should honor him in the best way that we know how.
We should. I would love to see more.
For his physique.
They should build especially a 50-foot statue of him. A 50-foot statue of Bartolo.
They should build seven to outdo, yeah. outdo the six 50-foot statues yeah. of Stomper. I will say, I want there to be more. I want there to be like a home run derby in honor of Bartolo's home run.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun? Maybe some sort of contest where you have to like stand on one foot for the longest because of his longevity. So some sort of longevity contest. I don't know. Gemma, what are your thoughts on Bartolo Night?
Oh, I think it's great. I totally agree with you. And I think that every team that has Bartolo should just take advantage of that fact because he's very lovable and people are going to want that shirt for sure.
Yes. Including three people on this podcast right now.
Yes. Yes. I hope everyone on the Twins wears it during the game instead of, you know,
that'd be great.
Basic uniform. Yes.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, because at minor league promotions, that's what would happen.
Yes.
Yes.
This also
like,
makes
you know
up for...
They
go ahead.
They do the ones where they're like, oh, there's a giant dog face on our uniform. It'd just be Bartolo's face
That'd
on
be
the
cool.
uniform.
Cool. Or it could, yeah. like, you know, there was that... Like, a few years ago, there was a team that did selfie night where all the fans did selfies and they had them on the jersey. It could just be a bunch of selfies of Bartolo. And on like, he could just do them in various poses. That'd be great. You can't see this because this is radio, but I just did a handful of Bartolo-esque poses. I thought it was thrilling. And I think what's good about this, too, is that he didn't wear Big Sexy on the back of his jersey for Players Weekend, so we get a separate night honoring that great nickname.
Yes.
My question to the two of you, though, who else deserves a special night? Maybe themed around their nickname, maybe not. What is like another sort of veteran player that you would like to see have this same same appreciation night. Maybe not even a veteran. I don't know. Gemma, what do you think?
Well, the Rangers did something like this for Beltre's 3,000th hit. They, like, gave out special caps, which I thought was cool. But, again, could have gone a little bit further with that.
Yes. And, like, some teams do, like, bobblehead night or whatever. Yeah. But, like, I want, like, big picture.
Yeah, well, okay. So do you remember last year? I don't remember who tweeted this, but they tweeted a picture of the Marlins elevator and it just has Ichiro's face on it. Like his giant head just on the elevator doors and it's everywhere. Obviously, I was going to say Ichiro deserves his own night.
I saw that photo. I thought it was your apartment.
I mean, reasonable because they look exactly the same. But I think he should have a night. I think that would be great. There could be like a pre-game stretching where everyone could just learn his little routine that he does.
Yep.
That would be fun. Yep. That's my answer.
That's good. I like that. Ian, what do you think? Who deserves a special night of appreciation?
Well, I think that now that we have all these players on record with their cool nicknames, that is something we should take more advantage of. And I think that teams also should plan more nights around players that are things beyond just a bobblehead. Mm-hmm. So I think combining those two and also like the minor league gimmick where if you fit some consideration and attend a game, then you get something.
Oh, that's fun.
So I think that the Astros should host 100 Miles Giles night.
Okay.
Any fan who can prove that they drove at least 100 miles to attend the game, like gets tickets to another game or something, or like gets free gas to drive back 100 miles.
They just give you like a
can of gas. What could go wrong? It's oil country. I think the Mariners should hold Kyle Seager night. That if you can prove that you have a brother named Corey, that he gets a free T-shirt.
This is good.
Or you get a free T-shirt. Either way. I also think that Toronto, there's potential for like a bringer of rain promotion, especially because they play in a dome.
Yeah.
And like if it starts raining and Donaldson homers, then everybody does a rain dance. I don't know. You get
it's
something.
Good giveaway.
Yeah. I like
given the art of dance.
Easter egg. The art of dance. Yeah. You have the bringer of rain delay. Everyone gets their T-shirt.
There's crafts. Remember what in crafts in like camp, you would make the little like rain cups
that
makes the rain set. Yeah, everyone could just
I always remember there's like a big stick.
Stick. Yeah.
Yeah, the rain sticks. Yeah. I don't know why Toronto fans don't have those.
You should have those.
And whenever Donaldson homers, you should just turn your rain
or just
sticks.
Each at bat. Like, you know how the Rays fans, they do the cowbells. They should just do that during all the Donaldson at bat.
That would be really cool. Get it together, Jays fans.
Can you hear? I've never been to Rogers Centre. Can you hear it if it rains? Like, if it's pouring?
Probably. You can hear it at the Trop.
Hey, Blue Jays fans, let us know.
Yeah, tweet us, at Cut4, hashtag Cut4cast. Tell us if you can hear if it's raining in Rogers Center. We want to know.
We do. It's key. Do you have one, Dakota? Do you have a special promotion?
I do have one. So one of the things that I like about Bartolo Night is that it honors a player who really hasn't had let's honor this guy night. And he's been around for a while. He's played for a few teams. He's had a lot of appreciation. And so I thought maybe he's played for fewer teams. Maybe he doesn't have as long a career. But somebody who really deserves the same love is Robinson Cano. And so I thought you could do a Don't You Know night where, a lot of teams do this where they'll have like the players ask a trivia question on the video board. You could just have him host a game show.
Just about himself, though.
It could be about
him. So all
him,
the facts
sure.
would be
yeah.
Robinson Cano trivia.
Yeah, like at the end of every question or the start of every question could be like, don't you know who was the 13th president of the United States? Like, I thought that would be a really fun thing. And I just think there should be a whole night about how great Robinson Cano is because he's kind of underappreciated up in the corner. We don't think about them up there in that corner all that often, do we?
Good work by Dakota proposing Mariners mansplaining night, but...
Yeah, that would be a great... I think that would be a great promotional night, Gemma.
Terrible.
Okay.
And...
I don't know. I want some Robbie Cano appreciation. That's all I'm saying. Don't you know? But before we move on, we want to take a minute to tell you about the MLB Pipeline podcast, which focuses on all things draft and prospect related. MLB Pipeline's draft and prospect gurus Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo join Tim McMaster each week to talk about what's going on in the constellation of MLB's future stars.
Oh, no.
You like that. You like that joke, Ian. I know you like that joke.
I saw for a minute I didn't know where it was going, and then I figured out where it was going.
Constellation of future stars. Last week, they handed out some awards for their Pipeline team, hitter, pitcher of the year, and then had a chat with that pitcher about his excellent season and what comes next. Who could it have been? You'll have to listen to find out. To hear all of those names and teams revealed, search for MLB Pipeline in Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts and click subscribe. Go in there, type in MLB Pipeline, hit search, hit the big subscribe button, and then you'll just have a lovelier time on your commute or wherever else you listen to your podcast. Ian listens to podcasts literally 24/7.
He's listening to a podcast right now while
he is
recording
in
this
double
podcast.
Speed.
I think he's actually listening to the MLB Pipeline podcast right now. And so you should join him by subscribing.
I will say that the pitcher they talked to, mystery pitcher, was a pitcher I wasn't familiar with, but now am. And I think that everyone else will be familiar with him soon, so you should listen.
Ooh, oh, wow, double teaser.
And then you can mansplain him to your friends.
We're going to have a special appreciation night of him where we can all showcase.
He explains how cool he is to everyone around him.
It's the night before gatekeeping night where we decide who is and isn't a real baseball fan. Okay, I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani. I only ever want to talk about Shohei Ohtani, and I'm glad that I now am able to carve out a piece of time in the Cub Forecast to talk about him. We saw on Twitter he had recently tossed a slider that was just utterly devastating, and we couldn't let that slider go unappreciated. You can go to MLB.com/cut4 and see it. But it really brings Ohtani mania to light. We're all talking about it now. There are rumors, there are reports that he might find his way to Major League Baseball next season. I don't know. I'm not a reporter. I don't know. All I'm saying is that it would be very exciting to see him in the majors next year. My first question for the two of you, if you're not familiar, Shohei Ohtani is a phenom who plays in Japan, who is famous for the fact that he is both an elite level pitcher and an elite level hitter. It's pretty rare. One of the reasons why it's taken so long for him to come over to the major leagues is that there's been some debate as to whether or not the major league clubs will actually have him hit and pitch in the same game or for the same team. So he's been sort of slow to come over. But my question to the two of you is, which are you more excited to see from him? And then where do you kind of hope he lands up, totally ignoring fit, totally ignoring which teams are actually able to sign him and which are not? Because I think there's like 13 teams that cannot afford the full posting fee. So, Gemma, let's start with you. What are you most excited to see from Ohtani, and where do you hope he goes?
Well, we've talked about this before on the podcast before about like that it's not crazy for him to play for a National League team because then he can still hit in the game. But I think you proposed that it would be much more fun for an American League team to pick him up so that he could DH on days that he wasn't starting.
Yes.
And I am totally in on that. I am so in on it because if I was going to pick which one I was more excited for, then I would just be assigning him a position, and that's not fun. Like, I want to see both. That's what the novelty is knowing that this guy is going to start one day and then go hit a home run the next day. That's exciting. So I hope it's an American League team. I would like it to be maybe a team that we don't otherwise like get to watch a lot, like that people don't have a lot of eyes on. So maybe the Mariners. That could be fun, you know?
So I had the Mariners on my list, too, because I thought it'd be good to have that legacy, too, of Japanese players. Like, I like the idea of there being something of a legacy play. I think the Yankees, similarly, would be interesting for that choice, another American League team. I don't know that they would be willing to DH him.
Yeah, I wonder
about
that.
They would. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Wow, we agreed on something.
We agree. This is a first,
what
ladies and gentlemen,
moment.
On the Cub Forecast.
Wow.
It is Wednesday, September 13th, and Gemma and I...
And
have
last week,
agreed.
You did your very first good tweet ever.
I know. Things are looking
really
up. Things
like,
are looking up on the Cub Forecast.
What an incredible run.
Ian.
Yes.
Where do you want Shohei Ohtani to go? What are you most excited to see? Or I'll yell at you some more.
I think he actually shouldn't pitch or hit. He should only be a defensive replacement. Welcome to the grill.
I said earlier today, he should manage. If you aren't familiar, you should go check out The Grill, the series brought to you by Cespedes Family Barbecue on MLB.com/cut4. Go check it out. Not to spoil anything, but they have some different plans in mind for Jose Altuve that don't quite involve him playing in the middle infield. Ian, I want to hear some more of your Ohtani thoughts.
Yeah, I do mostly agree with you guys that I think an AL team where he would start and then have the chance to DH when he's not pitching is the most exciting scenario. You know, it's cooler that even if, like, I don't think he would start one day and then DH the other 4 days. Like, I think you need some time off. But even DHing a couple times a week would be more exciting than just watching him get two or three at-bats. And, like, because if he only gets two or three at-bats, you know, every 5 days, then, like, it'll almost be hard to tell how good he is. The sample size just be so small, and he'd only have limited time to work on the hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, being a part-time DH in the AL would be super cool. I do think the Yankees would be a fun fit for that. I may be slightly biased there, but there's a decent chance that Tanaka opts out, and it seems like these days you want to kind of build that, like, three-headed monster in the rotation. They'll have Gray and Severino, so I think they're in the market for pitching this offseason, and they don't really have a long-term DH locked in. You know, I don't think Matt Holliday is the you know, long-term solution there. They have a couple outfielders, so I think it helps a scenario like that where he wouldn't have to be the only DH, but the option is there for him. I don't know how realistic, but I think the Twins would be super fun.
It would be so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly a team that could use, like, a top-of-the-rotation starter. And they've kind of pieced together DH this year with Robbie Grossman and Sano playing there some, you know, Mauer DHs occasionally, but, like,
and they need that extra, like, piece too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of feel like they need, like, one star, and then they'll really have it, you know, with Sano and Buxton coming on. So I think those would be my two picks. They'd be super fun, and I hope that one of them happens.
I've been on the Twins. That's
I think
fun.
That's, yeah.
They've that's also, a good choice.
They've,
yeah,
like, delved, not at that level. They haven't really delved into, like, the top of the international market, but they've signed, like, a couple Japanese players. They had the Korean first baseman, Byung-ho Park.
Yeah,
his name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they've made some moves over there.
Yeah, maybe that's I think a really good. I thought about them, but then I decided I wanted to go a little crazier, ignore everything that I had said earlier. And so Seattle, New York, both great ideas. Fenway or Wrigley, just I like the idea of him playing.
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
I mean, you can, you know, the thing about Fenway that is exciting is the idea of him, like, striking out eight batters and then mashing home runs over the monster is thrilling. But then I thought, if we're talking aesthetics, just throw out the AL. He should play for the Giants because he should hit home runs into the Cove. That would be the most exciting thing that has ever happened. And here's the other, this is the other beauty of having him in the NL that I have come to realize.
Okay.
Last week we talked about the potential loan system in Major League Baseball, which you would loan, say, Giancarlo Stanton to a team for the postseason and be like,
right,
oh, he can't start. Oh, he's coming in the eighth inning. Oh my God. How terrifying would it be pinch hitter Shohei Ohtani? Or flipping it on the other way, and he comes in like, the fifth inning and just finishes out the rest of the game. How great would that be?
I mean, that would definitely be fun. I feel like, though, like, we already have Madison Bumgarner, right? Like, we kind of already have this idea of a guy who's a good starter and then hits home runs all the time.
I just feel like
that's why I like our AL picks better, though, because I want more at-bats.
Or, like, put him on the Cubs, right? And think of the crazy things Joe Maddon could do. Maybe you start him in left field, and then you shift him into pitcher in, like, the third inning. Like, these are the kinds of things I'm thinking. You could do nuts stuff. And so we need, like, he needs to aesthetically look good in the park. I think the older parks or AT&T or PNC are really the classic choices for that. Or follow in a legacy of great Japanese players by going to Seattle or New York. Or he could go to Miami, play alongside Ichiro. Just saying, there would be 7 billion reporters there. But I just like the idea of him doing, like, crazy stuff on the field. And I want him to go to the team that has the most likelihood of him doing crazy stuff.
Dakota's making a lot of faces right now, which you cannot see.
I care a lot about this.
Gestures,
is radio.
Faces.
This, I, like, years ago was on this, a baseball statistics website, and I was searching through a great many statistical rankings of various players in NPB, and I saw this guy who was like 18 at the time, and he was leading both the pitching charts and the hitting charts. And I was like, who is that? Is that real? And I did some searching, and it was Shohei Ohtani. And ever since then, I've been desperate to see him play in America.
Dakota would like you all to know that he discovered Shohei Ohtani.
No, I didn't discover him. I just want to watch him play baseball. And regularly, in person, preferably.
I do think it'd be cool if he went to Miami and then Ichiro decided that he wanted to fulfill his dream of becoming a pitcher for like his last MLB season
he's
or two.
He's pitched a couple times.
Yeah, but like to become a real pitcher, just to start for like a season.
That would be thrilling.
And then the two of them could lead Miami's rotation.
Yeah. That would immediately become my favorite team. Like,
game one, game two of the World Series, back to back. That would be a thrill.
I would own both of those jerseys in seconds.
We would just relocate Cut 4 to South Beach.
Yes.
Okay, let us move on here. The season is coming to a close. Regular season is coming to a close. Obviously, we're in the middle of a thrilling postseason chase, which you can see visualized on MLB.com/Cut 4 in the form of a horse race, thanks to Gemma.
Well, it's not really thanks to me. It's thanks to Jake and Jordan of Cespedes Family Barbecue and our great designer, Jenny Goldstick.
Yes, but mostly
that.
Gemma.
No. Thank you.
In addition to that, though, you can... I wanted to talk... There's another post that we had on our site by Jordan of Cespedes Family Barbecue about the best series coming up before the end of the season. Like, if you care about these postseason races, here are the five or sixth series that you should really pay close attention to. And I thought, let's go even simpler than that. What is the game that you're most excited to see, or at least one game in one of these series that you're most excited to watch? Ian, I guess let's start with you. What? There's not a lot of baseball left. We need to really appreciate each morsel of regular season baseball. What is the piece that you're saving to really enjoy?
Savor it while it's still left.
Yes.
Okay, Thursday, September 28th.
Ooh.
Which wow.
is 15 days from right now.
Mark your calendars.
Cubs at Cardinals in St. Louis. As we record now, I believe that St. Louis is two back in the NL Central, and that would be their best chance of making the postseason. They're further back in the wild card chase. The Cardinals finish playing the Brewers. The Cubs finish playing the Reds. So you'd figure that if that division is within a game or two, that Cards Cubs series would be the best chance for the Cardinals to overtake Chicago.
Which one was this? Which date you said?
The 28th. That's the last day of a 3-game set.
Ian and I chose the same game.
Second to last.
Wow.
The second to last series of the season. I don't think anyone thought back in April that the Cubs wouldn't run away with the NL Central. So a little excitement still left. That's been a fun rivalry in the last couple of years.
It's been a great rivalry in the last couple of years. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I think like the fact that it's coming down to the wire with regards to St. Louis is interesting. And like the Cubs. Yes, basically everything that you just said, I'm going to reiterate, because I just rivalry games, I think, are really thrilling, and I want to see more like late season rivalry stuff, so I like it.
Yeah, and I think like the Cubs, especially last year, and the Cardinals over the last like five, almost 10 years now, like it feels postseason-ish when they're involved, and that game, it'll be kind of cold, it'll be in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. That's a scene that we've seen a lot and had a lot of fun moments in, and this will be just a little appetizer like a week before the postseason really gets started.
Also, I'm sure those fans are upset that the Cards have kind of flown under the radar this year.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think they're going to be wanting to make some noise and really show baseball at large that they're still here and they're in this chase. So I'm with you. I agree. Gemma,
I like that you picked the same thing. That's so nice.
We did. I have another one I could throw in. But Gemma, what do you got?
Well, so I've also kind of been into these things that might be previews for actual games that we're going to watch. So last night, after my roommate and I watched Cleveland win another game, we were like, what are we going to watch now? And we switched over to the Rockies and Diamondbacks because like that could be an actual preview for the wild card game to come. So we had a lot of fun. And last night's game was pretty interesting because it really didn't seem for the first couple of innings like it felt like both teams were at the same level of play, which I feel like since the Diamondbacks have been so good, we weren't really expecting. So I have been enjoying watching those teams play each other, and I'm going to continue to enjoy that. I'm going to like watching the Twins-Yankees series later on.
That was my other one.
That's going to be a preview of a wild card game as well. So that's going to be great. There's also a Cubs-Brewers series coming up that I think will be fun. Just anything where we can kind of see the sense of what might happen, like shadows of what is to come, I'm excited by.
Especially with the wild card game. I want to talk about the Yankees-Twins, because I think like the beauty of the wild card game is that it is one game. Mm-hmm. We go crazy for it every year. Weird stuff happens every year. And the more like drama you can build up to that game, the better. And so like the fact that they're having this series so close to the wild card game is really great. And so like maybe there'll be some tensions that could boil over. Wouldn't that be exciting? I'm not advocating violence, of course, but you know, I don't know, maybe there'll be some scuffles, extracurricular activities. A boy can dream. So that is the series that I'm probably most looking forward to, is because I think when you know, because the other thing to keep in mind is like the managers are probably having a sense that they'll be going up against each other in the wild card game. So like, mm-hmm. even though there's not like a ton of surprises, you want to maybe keep some relief pitchers a little bit closer to the vest so that you don't necessarily show the hitters what they have. So
it is interesting to see how seriously those series are being treated, you know, because obviously like, you need to win the games. You want to stay in the wild card. But at the same time, I totally get what you mean in terms of, like, how much do you want to show? Like, how much do you want to let it hang out, I guess.
And going against each other, like, barring what happens outside this series, this series could decide who hosts the game.
Exactly.
And so, like, that matters tremendously. And I think, you know, it'd be great. Selfishly, I think we want it to be in New York. But you know, we don't get a choice, sadly. But we also want to hear which games you're most excited to watch in the run-up to the postseason. You can tweet those at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. And no, you cannot answer all of them. That's not fair.
That's very sweet, though.
That would be sweet. I mean, that's probably Michael Clare's answer.
Watch every game left in the season. There aren't that many.
Yeah.
There really aren't that many. It's sad.
That's incredible.
Okay. I didn't prep either of the two of you on this, and that's okay.
Oh, great.
So
this is going to go well.
Very anxious.
Who is going to win the World Series, Gemma?
I said this in April. I'm going to say it again. The Astros.
Ian, I want this to be on record.
Oh, man. The Nats.
I like that choice, too. Just so you guys know, my dad has been texting me a fake play-by-play of the World Series Game 7 that he has made up. A fake World Series Game 7.
Really?
Between the Diamondbacks and the Astros. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
What is the score of the fake Game 7?
Is it
the
JD Martinez fan fiction?
It's JD. It is Tigers fanfic. It's JD Martinez, Justin Verlander fan fiction. Obviously, JV starts Game 7 of the World Series for the Astros.
Obviously.
JD is going to have to hit a home run off him. It's going to be a whole thing. So
is he going like pitch by pitch over a month
no,
texting
he's
you
just
this?
Going, like, I'll just like randomly pick like a part of the game and be like, what if this happened?
Gemma's dad is my favorite person in the United States of America.
Who do you think is going to win the World Series?
So I've thought about this a lot. I have said the Astros. I am going to say the Astros now, but part of me really wants to say the Dodgers. I'll do it. You know all what? Right. I'll do it. I know mid-season I said the Astros.
No, that's fun.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are winning the World Series in 2017.
I could see it.
It's going to happen.
We did full, like, most of the people who work for LA.com did, like, with that big Google Doc.
Yeah.
We all
made
predictions at the All-Star break, and I cannot remember who I picked to win the World Series that time.
I remember what I picked for anything.
I picked Astros Nats and the Astros winning, but I'm changing it.
I might have picked Astros Dodgers. A boring choice. At the time, was an extremely boring choice.
I mean, so is Nats.
I know that I picked the Brewers to win the NL Central because they were winning at that point, and everyone else was picking the Cubs when I filled it out.
I thought I was getting good value there.
That's where I'm at.
For the sake of being contrary.
That's where I'm at with this, too, is like, now's the time to buy your Dodger stock.
Yeah.
So make sure to buy low. And then when they win the World Series, you can be like, I knew it all along. Everybody will be like, well, yeah, they had such a great record. And you can be like, well, okay, but just remember the lowest of the low point. And I was on that island. Please tweet us also your World Series predictions.
Yeah, we want to know.
Almost
you
here.
Can tweet us a play-by-play of your fake World Series game like my dad.
Also tweet us play-by-play of your fake dream World Series with former players from your favorite team. At Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. Since we're talking about Twitter, it is now time to summarize the podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Ian K., since you have the power to fire me, I'm going to make you go first.
Announcing free admission for all fans to Shohei Ohtani night coming to Minnesota April 2018.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That was really good.
The only way you could plus it would be like for game 7 of the 2018 World Series. I don't know. We'll work. Okay.
It was
the good,
sorry.
The good tweet,
I ruined Ian's
the good tweet magic is over.
I ruined Ian's tweet. Gemma, give us your tweet.
My tweet is going to be the 2018 game I'm most excited for is Gemma's dad's fake baseball night.
Me too. Is that the whole tweet?
Okay. a reenactment of his fake World Series game.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I would retweet that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine, I don't even know.
Muted.
Yeah. My tweet is, it's never too early for your 2018 World Series prediction, colon, the Yankees win with the return of Robinson Cano and Shohei Ohtani, period.
Wow, what happened?
Do you like accidentally tweet your drafts? What's going
that
on?
That was a horrible tweet. I just want to issue a
formal... Dakota, the only way you could plus that tweet was by just writing a better tweet.
I want to issue a formal apology to you listening. I'm very sorry that you had to put up with that tweet.
Would you like
I
to
will
hear...
attempt to be better next,
yeah,
next week.
One of Okay, here's one of my dad's texts. Bottom of the 9th, World Series, Astros in Houston. Like, I guess that's up by 1, 2 outs, 9th inning, Diamondbacks man on 3rd, JD up, JV at 115 pitches, ..
That is clearly the habits of a very sane person. I would screenshot that and tweet that. That's my actual tweet. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, you definitely have one that's better than mine. Please tweet at us at Cut4th, hashtag Cut4cast. Also, seriously, we're being very serious about your fan fiction tweets.
Yes.
Please tweet those at us.
Yes.
And we'll read them on the next episode of the Cut4cast. In addition to more of Gemma's dad, insane
that sounds
fiction.
Really exciting, though. Did that
it
not
does.
Sound really
it does.
Exciting?
You can read articles about all of the stories we talked about today on MLB.com/cut4. If you like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/cut4. All of the content will appear in your newsfeed. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can tweet us random thoughts at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4cast. We love reading those. And we have an email address, cut4cast@mlb.com. You can ask all of your life questions, your quandaries, your uncertainty about the existential experience of humanity and living on Earth. That's just for Michael Clare. You can tweet us or you can email us, cut4cast@mlb.com. This is a podcast. If you liked this podcast and you came about it in some bizarre, unusual way, you can go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe there or wherever else you get your podcasts. While you're there, you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. You can actually take time to write a review. All of those things help other people find the show. Ian, I know I gave you a subpar introduction, but I just want to say I'm thrilled that you were back on this episode of the Cut4cast.
It's great to be back. I have to go catch the boing bat of here, but I'll be back soon.
Gemma, thank you as always for putting up with me.
Of course.
But mostly thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.